Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. Nick Bibby is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Nick is a principal in the Bibby Group, which is a franchise consulting and entrepreneurship counseling organization, and he is a franchise expert, and that's what we're going to talk about. This is a very important topic. You know, we've talked about franchising quite a bit on this show before. We have a couple of other franchising experts, but I'm glad to add Nick to our list. Nick, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Nick, I've covered this topic quite a bit, franchising, from the franchisor standpoint, from the franchisee standpoint. And what I tell and what I've written about about this topic, Nick, is that I call franchising entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty excellent description of it. There are, of course, two main sides or portions of franchising. As you just said, there's the franchisee side. Should I own a franchise, and is that appropriate for me? And then,
should I be a franchisee, being the person who buys the franchise from a franchise organization, like owning a local McDonald's or a local TCBY or a local whatever it might be, that you actually run the business as having bought the franchise from the parent company?
You have a licensed relationship with the franchisor, and you own the business as an independent person.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the other side, and I'm involved with the franchisee side, but I'm also involved with the franchisor side, which is a very, very interesting piece of our economy, and that is I own a successful business. I want to grow it. What are my options? And franchising is clearly one accepted, proven channel of distribution that allows growth essentially through the use of OPM, other people's money. And if there are certain requirements or criteria met, franchising can be a most stimulating and profitable means of growing a business. But unfortunately, we have a lot of people who jump into franchising their business before they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And
because it's a big undertaking.
It's a big undertaking
to franchise your business. You can get rich doing it, but it's not really a get rich quick type of thing, is it?
It has nothing to do with get rich quick. And as my father used to say, you do what you're supposed to do with your life and the money follows. And I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a very special personality to become a successful franchisor. And I think so many people miss this point, and that's the reason why many people who attempt to franchise their business do not succeed. They do not understand the upcoming relationship between themselves as mentor, teacher, expert, mm-hmm. at their system, the relationship between that type of personality and the franchisee coming into the system who will lean on them and need their support.
Well, and so, the personality that it takes to create a successful business is not always the same personality that it takes to grow a franchise.
That is an extremely important insight, Jim, for this reason. The entrepreneur is used to, as you well know, overcoming a great deal of adversity and obstacles, and often they're doing it by themselves because they're in a business by themselves. And often what that can breed is the idea that because I've built a successful business, my franchising efforts will necessarily follow naturally. And that's not so, because franchising is a business and an industry unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
So just because a person has a successful restaurant or shoeshine parlor does not translate necessarily into successfully franchising that concept. So what it really requires, if I could put it in a nutshell, is this. When a person franchises their business, they're making the assumption that their model or their business system can be replicated.
Mm-hmm.
But it requires them, the franchisor, to help the franchisee understand and work within the system. And in the same respect, a good franchise consultant, and of course we've got a mix-up in that term because most people think of a franchise consultant as someone who helps you buy a franchise,
mm-hmm.
but that's a whole different discussion. But a good franchise consultant should be acting as a franchisor to the franchisor. Do you get my point?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that mentoring relationship. If you are not interested in mentoring, helping, teaching, nurturing people in the use of your system, you should not be in the franchising.
Well, and this goes back to what I call Blasingame's first law of aggregation, and that is that this highly successful people that I've seen in my career, Nick, are the people who aggregate the success of others by helping them be successful. You aggregate their success and you derive your success from that aggregation, not off of them, but from them.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if more of us followed that principle?
Well, it would be, and I don't think you can be a successful franchisor if you don't have that attitude.
Again, that's great insight, Jim. And this is the reason why there is not a great percentage of franchisors who make it big because they, for some reason, they either fail to or refuse to see and accept that very important principle.
Do you think that they get the first 6 or 8 or 10 franchisees, do you think that they try to make their fortune off of those folks instead of saying, you know what, this is my foundation, I'm going to make sure these people are successful, and I'll grow my fortune out of the 300 beyond these 10? You know, are they capable? They have to understand deferred gratification, don't they?
Yes. The answer is yes, but there are actually many different levels of profitability in franchising a business, and you've got to be attuned to each one of them.
Is it possible, when we come back, I'm going to ask you this question, and I'll get you answered on the other side of this break. Is it possible to have a highly successful small franchise, say with, you know, under 20 or 30 franchises? We're going to be right back after these messages. Nick Beebe is our guest, and he'll answer that question on the other side of these messages. Stay with us.
Hello, stranger.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll go there when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Lots and lots of resources, archives, thousands of archives of past shows that we've done, thousands of articles, hundreds of Brain Trust members. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email on Sunday afternoon every week. We're now in our, let's see, we're in our eighth year, is it our seventh year for the newsletter. And and also my blog. Check out the blog when you get a chance. It's not like anybody else's blog that you've ever seen, and I know you wouldn't expect anything different from me. And that's all at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Nick Beebe is our guest. He's a principal in the Beebe Group. He's a franchise expert. And Nick, give us your website, please.
It's www.bibbygroup.com, bibbygroup.com.
Right. And check that out when you get a chance, especially, folks, if you want to understand a little bit more about franchising. Nick, you've got some great resources there on your homepage. I congratulate you on the way you focused your site to help folks. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking about buying a franchise, if you're thinking about becoming a franchisor, first stop should be to check out Nick's website, bibbygroup.com. Nick, let's get back to my question. Is it possible to have a successful, long-term, small franchise with, you know, only maybe 10 or 20 or 30 franchisees?
That's a good question. Let me break it down for you in two different ways. Number one, you do not have to be a national or international franchisor to be successful. As a matter of fact, there are some very successful systems operating on a regional basis, and there are lots of reasons why one might concentrate on New England or the Midwest or on one state, given the acceptance of a concept or a taste or mm-hmm. or a system. That's one thing. The other way to look at limited franchisees would be size of territory. Without making this overly complicated, we have large area developments that could encompass a state for a franchisee. Mm-hmm. Which case the franchisee is controlling vast territory. So your question, the answer to your question is, yes, one can be highly successful with limited numbers of franchisees, especially if the franchisee requires lots of ongoing support from that franchisor and there's a direct contact between franchisor and franchisee on a long-term basis. So,
right.
Yeah, you don't have to be looking at international expansion in order to be successful.
Well, I know, 'cause the reason I say that, we talked about this earlier with some other folks about in the previous hour, we talked about people who want to grow their business, but they actually don't want to get too big. They might actually limit the growth, you know. And I can see where if you limited the growth, that could actually increase the value of any franchise that you have out there.
It could possibly. Franchising is as flexible a channel of distribution as you can get, because you can mold and meld the franchise system to your liking, so long as, like anything else in the world, there is a good fit between you and the whole positive side of mm-hmm. franchising. There must be a good fit.
Right.
And more than anything else, as I mentioned earlier, there has to be a proven operating system, there has to be a proven model, and there has to be the desire to help others achieve success with your model.
And those are things that since we probably have more people listening who are interested in becoming a franchisee than a franchisor, those are excellent things to tell a prospective franchisee to ask the franchisor about, aren't they? Those are...
Jim, those are not only excellent points, but to that point, let me make a very quick statement in that direction, okay? Most franchise consultants, see, there are two sides, of course. There's a consultant for a person who wants to franchise a business. There's mm-hmm. a consultant to those wanting to buy a franchise. Unfortunately, most people who bill themselves as franchise consultants today are actually brokers. They're representing
right.
certain opportunities for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I abhor that. And on the franchisee consulting side of my business, I represent no franchise for sale. I'm interested in one thing, mm-hmm. helping the prospective owner analyze an opportunity for a short fee and therefore help them make a better decision about their future.
Right.
So be very careful, broker versus consultant. There's no such thing as free consultant.
So make sure if somebody's helping you, make sure that they don't have a conflict of interest is basically what you're saying.
And that's exactly right. And the buyer, unfortunately, is always at a disadvantage in buying a franchise because the franchisor is experienced in their area.
Right.
And so is the broker.
And they have the documents.
They
are their document. Whoever writes the documents has, by definition, an advantage,
and often has the power.
That's exactly right. Nick, give us that website one more time.
It's Bibby Group, B-I-B-B-Y, Group, G-R-O-U-P, .com, BibbyGroup.com.
Nick, folks, it's a good website. I encourage you to check it out. Nick, I'd like to get you back on another day, and we'll talk some more about franchising.
Thank you so much, Jim. Have a great day.
We got a lot more to talk about. Nick Bibby, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back just another day. And in a few months, we'll get Nick back and talk some more about this very important topic, franchising, what I call entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Barbara Weltman. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Two train tickets, M2LA.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.